What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. On this week's show, we will talk to Vicky Bone. She just returned from an Alaska cruise on Princess Cruises. Before we get to Vicky, I do want to remind you about Cruise Radio Insider, our Facebook group. Come and discuss the daily cruise news with us. And speaking of cruise news, Cruise Radio News. Yeah, it's a little podcast. Quick hits of the daily news. You can be found right where you're listening to this, either on iTunes or on Stitcher Radio. We'll also put some links in the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Big hit, over 2,000 listens in less than a couple of weeks. So keep on listening to that. Now to the interview. We always like to get your cruise reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. We'd love to get you on the show. We're talking with Vicky Bone today. She just returned from a 7-night cruise out of Seattle aboard Crown Princess, and she's no stranger to Princess Cruises. We'll talk about that a little later on in the show. Hello, Vicky.
Oh, hi, Doug.
So we talked a few months ago when you were on Crown Princess, and here you are again, like, just getting off it again. Is you have an obsession with this ship or what?
Well, you know, you do fall in love with the crew that are on board, but this time it was more convenience and the itinerary. Yeah.
Yeah. Your last cruise is what, California Coastal?
That's right. Yeah. 7 days LA to Vancouver.
Nice. So you live in Vancouver, and so you had to go down to Seattle. How does a local from Vancouver get to Seattle affordably?
Well, as much as we wish we could get there pretty quickly, we have, it takes about 2.5 hours, but it was a long weekend in BC, mm-hmm. and they had a big seafair festival in Seattle. So the border was a little bit crazy, but we gave enough time. We took our time. We went down to Rick Steves' store in Edmond, so we kind of made like a little bit of a jaunt all over, went to a couple of the wine stores we wanted, and then met up with friends at their house in Seattle, and they live within a stone's throw of the pier, and spent the night with them.
Nice, very nice. So you get to the pier at the Port of Seattle. How was embarkation for you?
Well, this is a relatively new pier, Pier 91. Both Holland America and Princess sail out of there. It's a bit of a distance from downtown, but that might be a good thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, there's a lot of parking area there. And we were dropped off probably around 11:45, which is something I never do. I usually like to go later. But we dropped our bags. There was another ship that was leaving with us. And we got through security really quickly. We have priority embarkation. And what we quickly found out was the long line for everybody else, and priority embarkation was nobody. So I think we were on board that ship within 15 minutes.
Nice. Now, are you one of those cruisers that like to be like one of the first people on the ships?
No, I'm actually probably one of the opposite. Sometimes it ends up we get there early just because of circumstances. We have to check out of our hotel or something. But I work with the public, so the last thing I want to do is stand in the line or be in crowds. And I just tend to go away from where everybody else is. So normally we show up around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and we walk right on.
That's like the ideal time to board.
Yeah. It was lovely. And it was a beautiful, sunny, hot day in Seattle and amazing views of Mount Rainier and the harbor.
It's so cool when you're in Seattle and you see Mount Rainier from your ship, mm-hmm. because it looks like it's towering over you, but it's really like 50 something miles away.
Yeah. It is quite a ways, yes.
Yeah, so cool. So you make your way on the ship, and it's got to be like coming home to you because you were just on the ship. But what were your impressions this time around?
Well, it was kind of neat to get back on board, because when we were on the last time, when we got off, it was sailing to do a dry dock in Victoria for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I was really curious to see what had changed. And you could definitely see, especially all the public areas, a bit of sprucing up, you know, extra coats of paint, tile work done, upholstery, new drapes, carpeting, stuff like that. Brand new mud screen. In fact, I was told it's the most advanced screen at sea. It's even newer and fancier than the Regal Princesses, and it really is stunning.
You're throwing around these lingo, these words here, these acronyms. MUT stands for Movies Under the Stars, in case you're a first-time listener not familiar with Princesses Movies Under the Stars program, which we'll talk about here in a bit. So you make your way through the public areas, and you go to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you have on this sailing, and what were your impressions of it?
We had a balcony stateroom on Aloha deck, so we were relatively high up. We were two decks below the Horizon Court. We were near the aft of the ship. So you're just basically where the last staircase is. We were like right there. And, you know, one thing about Princess is pretty much all of their cabins are the same. It doesn't even matter if you have an inside, an outside, or a balcony. The inside of it is pretty much the same. You know, that big walk-in closet that
I love. Yes.
I love too. Yeah, because it's great because you can, you know, they put a little table in your room. I always stick that in the closet, so it gives me another shelf, and then I have more flow in the cabin. You know, the linens were all new from the dry dock as well. And a couple things, if anything, I think that this ship and many of the older ships, I put that in quotes, I find the cabins are needing a little bit of updating. You know, the bathrooms are starting to show a bit of wear and tear, and you know, the walls and stuff. So I would like to see that perhaps improve, but it certainly is a lovely cabin, and we had a lovely balcony, and I wasn't going to complain.
Sure, yeah, no reason to. Let's go back to the dry dock for a moment. Was there any major venue changes, or was it all just like technical and some paint and upholstery?
Yeah, most of it was underwater or mechanical stuff, and I got quite the lowdown on everything that had happened. But a lot of work was done in the production, Princess Theater, so some of that, changing a lot of the lights. They've changed them all to LED, which is much lighter, lasts longer, and less heat. The MUT screen. Up on the top deck, they had a mini golf, and it was really needing repair. I had to comment on that the last time we sailed. But they took all that out and they put a lovely bouncy ball and a little croquet area and even a little putting green as well. It looks really nice, and I have a great picture that I have on my wall of that area that they've done with Tracy Arm in the background, so you can check that out if
Yeah, for sure. We'll link to your Facebook page there in the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Let's take a turn here and talk about dining aboard Crown Princess. How was the dining? Let's start at the top in the buffet area and work our way down.
Yeah, Horizon Court and Cafe Caribe, some of our favorites. I had thought that it was going to get changed in dry dock where they kind of streamline it so there's not as many curves in the seating area, but that didn't happen. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. So it's still a little bit cumbersome getting in and around the tables and to the food stations. But we find, again, time to go when it's not too crazy and we enjoy it. One thing I love about Princess, especially at lunchtime, they have the theme. So there was one day where it was a Mexican theme. There was one theme that was Asian. And then one day they had a really great Alaskan buffet. So they had all kinds of salmon dishes and crab and seafood stews. And, oh, it was really, really nice. Certainly, you know, plentiful. Lots of choices.
Now, you were saying Horizon Court and Cafe Caribe. What's the difference?
Well, like many Princess ships, the Horizon Court is basically two buffets on each side of the ship. Mm-hmm. And so they'll sort of alternate. They'll start up breakfast really early in one, sort of more of a continental. Then they open up a full breakfast on the other side, and then they start getting the other side ready for a full breakfast, and then they start prepping the other, you know, so that it creates a time where there's never one that's closed, or there's always something to eat. But also at the very back of the ship is another buffet called the Cafe Caribe. Mm-hmm. So you'll find that's where they'll do their Crab Shack venue, which is a specialty restaurant. It's $20. And after stopping in at some of the places in the ports and seeing how expensive crab was going for, $20 for all you can eat.
Great deal.
Seafood is such a great deal. And though they did three of them and they were selling out fast. And one other event that they've just rolled out to this ship, which was already on the Regal and the Royal, is the Fondue Night. So that showed up on the last night. It's just being rolled out. In fact, they had the corporate executive chef on board to help introduce this to the ship. So it's not always open at dinner because they might close it off for a specialty, or sometimes they'll have that that venue open as a special theme meal up at the back as well.
Now, as far as the main dining room goes on the ship, how was the food and service in there for you?
We did anytime dining, which is sort of our thing, so we like to kind of go with the flow. And I really think it's a good option in Alaska because it stays light really, really late. And you really don't want to miss some of the ports when you're leaving a little bit later. So it's a nice option to just show up when you want. We found on this cruise, because there were so many families, that traditional and early seatings were quite busy. And we had no problem at all getting a table in and around 7:30, 8 o'clock. But we dined only in the dining room twice out of the 7 nights, ironically.
Okay, so
and the food was fabulous. Yeah.
Good food. Very nice there. Let's talk about, my mouth is starting to water now as you move into Crown Grill and Sabatini's. Did you dine at either of those restaurants? And what'd you think if you did?
Well, we did do the Crown Grill twice, actually.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if we remember. We have one of our favorite waiters who we literally seek him out. We sometimes even book a ship because he's on it, Mark. And he's been promoted just recently as a server up in the Crown Grill. So as soon as we got on, we found him. We made reservations for two of the nights. And just sailing. And that's why I can't speak on other lines, but for Alaska and Princess, they make it extra special because in the Crown Grill and even in the dining room, they have special menu items that are only available in Alaska. So they had this to die for halibut dish. They had crab. They had, you know, a seafood pot. And you're only going to find this on ships that are sailing up to Alaska at this time of year. So that was added on top of the regular Crown Grill menu. And I have to say that that halibut was really, really good, as well as the first night when we had a steak and, of course, their molten chocolate pudding decadence. And service was fabulous and the views were stunning. And yeah, what more can you ask for?
I want to get your opinion on something because it's a mixed bag about Sabatini's. Apparently, they recently changed the menus in their Italian venue, Sabatini's.
It was changed, actually, a few years ago. It used to be like continual food coming at you all the time.
Right.
But a couple of years ago, they changed it to be more like the Crown Grill, where you get a set menu, you can choose, you can certainly have as much as you want, but it was appetizer, salads, you know, entree, dessert. I really like the Sabatini's restaurant. I think some people think Italian, you know, it's not spaghetti and meatballs. This is more, you know, a traditional Italian restaurant. Lots of seafood, you know, a lovely baked sea bass, lamb, that whole Mediterranean feel.
Yeah.
But we didn't dine there this time other than we had a special, we were invited to the most traveled luncheon, which was held up in Sabatini's, but that was a special menu. But it's a beautiful venue to go to if you're sailing up in Alaska, because you're at the aft of the ship, you have this stunning view of the ship. And so the day you're leaving Skagway, say, leaving at 8 p.m., that would be a lovely venue to dine at for a special occasion. But I can tell you a bit of breaking news.
Okay.
I know you reported on one of your last podcasts about Curtis Stone coming in, and there was talk about he's going to open up a venue on the ship, a specialty restaurant. Now, word is that we heard from an officer, a very reliable source, is that it looks like it might be coming into the Sabatini's venue.
Ooh.
So we could be losing the Sabatini's. Yeah,
interesting. That's you got a scoop there. You're the mole.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I won't say who told me, but yeah, and I wouldn't be too surprised because I know on the past sailings that we've been on, it's just not as big a draw as say the steakhouse is, and often they would sometimes even close it on alternate nights.
Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce half the food on the menu in Sabatini's. I find myself pointing to things. I'll have this,
right.
And this.
Their calamari is really, really good.
All their food is awesome in there. It's just the problem I have of pronouncing it. So moving on here, we'll talk about food all night, so we need to move on to entertainment. What did you think about entertainment on this sailing?
Well, again, Princess is great with Alaska because they bring on guest entertainers only on this cruise up to Alaska that you won't find anywhere else. They had a family that came on and performed in the Princess Theater, and they had accompanied all of their music with imagery, their own personal imagery, up on the big screen and views of Alaska. And you're not going to find that when you sail in the Caribbean. They don't travel down there. There are stories about living their whole lives in Alaska. They'll bring on Libby Riddles, you know, about talking about the Iditarod. Yeah. They bring on this guitar player who plays a whole bunch of folk music. And again, they're come on usually when we're in port for that time and then go ashore and head home, right, that day. Mm-hmm. So excellent naturalist, lectures speaking specifically about things about Alaska. They've teamed up with Discovery at Sea, Princess, and depending on the itinerary, they gear it towards, you know, that itinerary. So it was quite fun. They had some events for kids and kids at heart. You had to go find images of Bigfoot or his footprint throughout. It was like a scavenger hunt. Nice. And they had, you know, how many shark teeth, and they did stories about whales and how to spot them and what to see and their mating. And it's like you're going on a trip and you're learning a lot of stuff, too. So it almost justified all the eating and drinking.
Nice. You were mentioning that there was a naturalist on board. And recently I've had a couple of interviews. I had a Holland America interview, a celebrity Alaska interview. How does Princess do Alaska, in your opinion? I mean, like, how do they embrace Alaska?
Well, I've never sailed with either Holland America or Celebrity. I've done some other cruise lines, but I've never done any other ones in Alaska. Mm-hmm. So I can't compare. But I have to say that the fact that you're sailing and you know you're sailing to this destination, you know, you're heading north to Alaska, you know, the theme songs at the beginning of shows are songs about Alaska. You have pictures. The atrium was decorated with big banners about Alaska. You could take a learn to play a penny whistle class, you know, so you, the food in the buffet, they even had a broth station set up when we were sailing through Tracy Arm. The naturalist is constantly up, you know, piped out into the public areas outside and into your cabin on the TV, talking about what you're going to see. You know, we saw more whales this trip than we've ever seen. And he was out there explaining why they're here and what they eat and, you know, talking about going up Tracy Arm and you know, people think, oh, we get to the glacier and that's it. In fact, I heard a guy saying, oh, look, we missed it. We got up here late. Where you're like, no, look, there's another glacier. Here's another type of glacier. And here's Michael, the naturalist, telling us, you know, his own stories of being there, kayaking up in this area, talking about eagle's nest, talking about bears, how to find, you know, mountain goats. So it was a really fun trip, but I can't imagine being a kid and getting to experience this. That would have been fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We're talking about naturalists, so let's talk about how the ship behaved while it was doing the sea days, which a sea day in Alaska is pretty much floating by the glacier. So how was the general flow of the ship, both inside and out, on Crown Princess during those days?
We tend to sail on non-peak times just because it's hard to get summertime off, and so we never travel when there's kids on board. And as soon as we got to the pier, it was a totally different vibe. There were, what we later found out, 2,000 first-time cruisers with Princess on board. 2,000. Normally we have like 2,000 Platinum Elite, but this time it was 2,000 first-time. Lots of families, lots of multi-generational families, big groups. So right away, it was a little odd, but it was exciting to see it through their eyes. So on board, it was constantly a lot of questions, a lot of people learning, you know, the ebb and flow of things, how to get places. And so you found out on the sea days, or even when we were getting into port, you know, a lot of people trying to figure out where they should go, what they should do, where can we go, you know, up on the deck to see a glacier, how can we hear about it. So you had to have a little bit more patience, but it was so much more enjoyable to see their excitement. And we had a lot of fun with the young kids.
Yeah,
I wrote about it in my blog, actually, if you get a chance. I don't know if you got to read the second day, but yeah.
Yeah, their enthusiasm is infectious for sure.
And, you know, we'd walk around, and again, on Princess, they have the Crown Grill during the day. They open it up, and they put a whole bunch of board games out. And just to walk down the promenade and seeing families playing Clue or Jenga or, you know, backgammon, doing a puzzle, I was like, wow, like, you never see this at home.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely a whole different vibe and scene with the whole family interaction when you're at sea versus home. Because normally when you're at home, all the kids are on their tablets or phones and parents are watching the news and there's no communication whatsoever. But you're kind of they have a captive audience out there at sea. You kind of have to spend time together or spend an arm and a leg on the internet. There's always that.
Yeah.
In closing here, Vicky, we're getting short on time, but let's talk about what ports you hit and which one was your favorite.
Well, we stopped in Juneau, in Skagway, Ketchikan, and Victoria. We didn't get off in either Victoria or Ketchikan because they were relatively short days. It was raining, of course, in Ketchikan, and we were more about let's rest and you know, being away from work. Juneau, we climbed up to the top of Mount Roberts, you know, where the tram is. Mm-hmm. We did a hike up to the top of it.
Nice.
And that was really nice. So, you know, there are definitely a lot of cost-effective things to do in port. But, you know, we love to hike. So that was a really easy thing. It's $10 to take the tram back down if you want. And I'd have to say Skagway was my best day. I love that place. It was also my birthday. And we met up with a crew member from the sister ship, the Star Princess, that was in town. Had a lovely meal with him. And then we hiked up to the cemetery and the falls that are about a half an hour walk from the town. Mm-hmm. And again, it was so hot in Skagway, we were getting sunburned. It was too hot to be in the sun.
Wow. I have to ask you, because I was interviewing Teresa a few weeks back, and she said she hiked up Mount Roberts, and it took her an hour and 20 minutes going up. How long did it take you?
I would say it was about the same, an hour and a half to 2 hours. It was really, really hot that day, and ironically, it was still quite muddy, the trail, so that was a little bit hard. And I'm getting older, and I laughed because I turned 50 on this trip, so I said I could only do that hike when I was 49. I don't think I could do it when I was 50.
Nice. It gets you out of any future hikes up Mount Roberts. Do you have any first-time tips for people who are considering or who may be sailing Crown Princess?
Well, if you're sailing Crown Princess and you're heading up to Alaska, I think the biggest tip is to go with the flow, maybe not be so set on the dining times, and, you know, have a meal up in the Horizon Court, watch a beautiful sail away, or maybe take some food down to your balcony and enjoy it. And then the biggest tip is when you're in Tracy Arm or you're sailing through one of the fjords there, get out and walk the whole ship. Seeing it just from your balcony, you're going to miss a lot. So I recommend walk the whole promenade, go up to the top deck, walk from the bow to the aft, and experience the whole beautiful scenery.
You left out one tip. You have to eat at Crown Grill.
Oh, well, that's a given. That's a given. I think so. And if you get on the Crown Grill, if you go to the Crown Grill on the Crown Princess, say hi to Mark from Vicky and Bernie.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. What's his name? Mark?
Mark.
All right. So you heard it. Say hello to Mark on Crown Princess from Vicky and Bernie. And Mark will get back with you, I'm sure, if a listener gives him a shout out. So with that said, we've been talking with Vicky Bones. She lives up in Vancouver, and she just returned from a 7-night Alaska cruise aboard Crown Princess round trip Seattle. And Vicky, I do love your Facebook page. It's Cruising Princess Cruise Line with Vicky. I'm linked to it in the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Vicky, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Oh, thanks, Doug. Take care.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales at cruiseradio.net.
I'm your announcer.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.